You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Wig Hackers podcast. And the treats are here for us today. I'm super stoked about this one. Everyone, please give a round of applause for Wigs by Davis. Woo, woo,
woo, woo, woo. I don't hear y'all. I don't hear y'all. I'm going to scream for myself.
Oh, my God. This. Hey, thank you for doing this. This just came like you popped on one day and we're like, let's do it. And here we are. Yeah. Oh my. A little backstory. How about I don't edit, just to let you know. So everyone who's listening, you know I don't edit anything. I'm all real and keep it like real. Well, we met in ISSE through Bianca.
Yeah.
So, and when I tell you, I fell in love with this man. So he is a wig maker extraordinaire. How about introduce yourself and then
okay. So really quickly, I am a wig guy. I like to call myself a wig engineer. So many people are like, what is that? What is that? But when I looked up the word engineer, it talked about someone who created things, who tried to find a way to make things operate. Maybe they didn't always do it, but it described me. And I said, okay, engineer. I like that. So I felt like wig engineer was the proper title for myself. I literally love wigs, been doing it my entire life. But the wig engineer has been that thing that stuck with me and kind of got me to really see what my true potential was. So I'm Darnell, the wig guy. Most people call me Davis. And yeah, I can't wait for us to kind of go down memory lane about our meeting, because we definitely met and I literally the same. The energy was like, I need to like be around this guy. Like his energy is everything. And just to see you on social, it's almost like a brotherhood was like instantly bonded. And I'm just glad to be here today. Like seriously, you're doing your shit.
That means so much. Because our jobs are not really a cross path type of thing. You know, we're in our rooms, we're in our zone, we're in our studio, we're in our bubble, I call it. Yep. And we just go. You know? Yep. So and that's why Wig Hackers came about to get together, because there are so many different ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to learn all of them because you know I don't want to work harder.
You know, that's what I keep saying. It needs to be some more education out there. I don't want to like go off a subject, but it needs to be more education in there, because what we need is there are so many millennials and so many people who are like really amazing at what they're doing. But if we keep this community so small and like hiding from the world, then we're never going to get those smart ass people who know how to build machines to actually do this shit. For us. So we have to keep educating and keep the career out there in the world, because there's not ever going to be that one person that comes in and makes it easier for us, or has that one idea that changes the entire game. So my goal is just sharing. The more we share, more people will literally start to think, okay, well, how can I make this easier? You said it take you how many hours? Right. It has to be something that I can do to make that better. So I just think that I am in this world of sharing now, because I know that it's only going to elevate what we do, and it won't make people that's coming after me have to work as hard to learn it, because it was so difficult finding the information and finding the knowledge, because it's just not there. And then when you go to classes, you're only getting what that one person is teaching versus what the world has to offer. So I found, like, if you share what you have, somebody else is going to put a little bit of this. Somebody else is going to put a little bit of that. By the time we sit back, or my time to clock out on this earth is gone, somebody's going to be then created a machine that does this shit. And we just have to come behind it and make it really look like little detailed, you know, minute things that machines just can't do. So that's why I kind of got into this whole game.
See, I mean, you're preaching to the choir. A, everyone knows that education and just knowing, yeah, you know, the fighting to get to where we are. Because people, and also I'm going to lay it on them, past, like, wig makers, they don't want to give their info too. So, like, on top of, like, it's already hard enough to find it besides going to, you know, a school for 100 years, mm-hmm, or any, like, you know, oh my gosh. But okay, well, we're going to get into it. How did hair become a part of your, like, calling, your life?
I've done hair all my life. Literally, like, I remember coming out the womb and I remember earliest childhood memory, seriously, was me doing my sister's hair for school. She had to go to school. So my mom was, like, good at it. But I remember I would be ready for school, and my mom would have to do my sister's hair. And I would cringe at how terrible her hair looked. And because of my cringing, I was like, well, Ma, get out the way. Let me do this. And I think I'm, like, probably 8 or something. And I think that was, like, one of those things where it just was so natural. And then it kind of evolved. Okay, now you let me do your hair. I was just telling a story on the live the other day. Like, my sister was my guinea pig for everything. I remember sitting her down in the chair. I said, you're going to have long hair right now. And I pulled out the super glue and started gluing individual strands, thinking that I was doing something. But because the glue wasn't tacky, it didn't hold. I was into hair. Like, and she had red hair by the time she was, like, 8. Who cares?
Hey.
It was great. But I always loved hair from a very young age. Wigs, though. Now, yeah, that's a very interesting place of how I actually got into wigs. Hair was, like, a whole world. I loved it, loved it, loved it. But I remember my aunt having a wig in her closet. And I'm glad I get to tell this story. Like, some people just don't give a fuck. But I know this community cares.
Yes!
My aunt had a bucket. Like, you know how they used to have those shoe boxes? And I guess she used to just put, like, I guess her old jewelry and old wigs in them and stack them up. And one day I was in her guest room and I seen it. And I was like, hold on, auntie, you wore wigs? Wigs? Not wigs. And she said, yeah, I wore wigs. And then she started showing me pictures. And when I looked at them, I was like, okay, they didn't look natural, but they gave her a different look. Mm-hmm. And I started to think, and this is a young me, so I didn't have the whole mindset to say, oh, okay, it didn't look good, but you just needed to do this. What my mindset was like, oh, this looks good. This doesn't look good, but ooh, what? How does Halle Berry get her wigs to look so natural? He literally was like, how? And then my mind started to, like, turn and twist. And I was like, okay, so maybe there is a way. And I watched the movie and seen my first lace wig. And it was literally Halle Berry. And when I seen her with short hair in the movie and short hair in real life and long hair in the movie, I said, hold on, something is not. And it was the hairline. Because the hairline on a wig always looks a little different. No matter how much you try to get those angles, if you're a camera person and you're a person who looks at it from a technical standpoint, then you're always going to catch those details. So I caught it. And when I caught it, I was like, that's what I want to do. Literally, my momentum started. Like, if y'all don't know, I am a hustler. I'm from Jeffrey Projects of Detroit. I literally grew up. We were the poorest people in the project. Like, how are you the brokest people in the project? But we were broke. But I think I learned so much because I didn't have resources to supply. So all of my wigs were made from old hair that somebody took out of their head. So I had to really learn how to pick the best pieces of hair, put the pieces in the right area, really putting things together. So everything that I do, like, I can build a wig from hair on the floor. But I know how to test each strand and make sure, is this one? The cuticle is not the right way. Like, I'm that guy.
No.
So, yeah, like, no, I say all that to say, I went to, oh, shoot, I wanted to tell y'all a one Oh, I'm terrible with telling stories and I can't remember where I'm going.
No, no.
I remember though.
We will. And we'll pop right back. So we'll pop back. Okay, so Halle Berry is the one who she got you together.
Yeah.
And Lay said, hello.
Hello. Look, here's your career. Welcome to the job. You're hired.
Yes. Oh, so when you're making a wig, so we're going to be jumping around your whole career. Like what keeps you going? Mm-hmm. You know, how like, you know, some deadlines come to us and, you know, we're like, but like, what keeps you going? What keeps you inspired to do wigs?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Despite frustration, we all have it. Like, I feel like even when I talked to you the other day, I kind of felt like you were going through it. And I'm just like, oh, I know that look.
Uh-oh.
I know that look. It's almost, and it's. I'll be honest, and this, if this is our community the way that I know it is, like, a lot of times we're behind on motherfucking goals. We want to have the shit done, but it's just not realistic. We're literally sitting here doing it ourselves. And it's cute. It's cool to have a team of people. But in the lifestyle that I'm in right now, I'll be 100% frank with everybody. I have hired people time and time and time again, and nobody has the passion like I have. Thank you for the time, but you cannot work with me. If you do not have passion like I have, I can't even have you on my team. The thing is, it's really important that if you're going to do something and you have team means that I'm going to support you. Where you can't do the job, I'm going to come in and support you 100%. I'm not going to come in with 50%, and when my 50% runs out, I'm done. No, that's not how it works. I come in with 100. When you go down to 75, I'm getting you back up to 100. When I go down to 50, you push me back up, and I haven't had that. And because of that, I really made a decision this year. People might have noticed I went ghost. I went MIA.
You
but
did?
Because I was like, fuck, I'm tired of fake smiling. Like, I hate this shit. I hate the people, and I don't want to do it. If I have nothing nice to say, I have nothing nice to say. And I'm not going to say anything. So I took a moment to really step back. I let go of a lot of people who were, like, in my space.
Wow.
When you blow up, people who haven't done all of the work that you've done to blow up think that they're just supposed to, let's go up in the sky. And I had to like readjust and like refigure out, like, when you make moves, you don't have to take everybody on every dot on that, you know, that dot on the board. Like, sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? Yeah, you don't go to this place. You just stay right here. You do that and you do it good. Maybe tomorrow if you show up and you show out, I might reconsider. But it was so many people who, and I'll just be honest, I was running my business like a church. Because they had potential to be good people, I thought that they could work in my business, but it wasn't benefiting me at all. So I just had to make adjustments. I don't even know what the question
is. This is okay.
Oh, well, how do you get distracted? Yeah, I do get discouraged a lot. I get discouraged a lot. And what I do to get from being undiscouraged, I have to listen to gospel. And I realized that today. I put on gospel music and there was a spirit that came over me that was, of course, I knew I had this deadline, but God came and calmed it down. Like, he really did. Like, and it's weird, but it really calmed me down because the client wants something. And the thing that I always tell everybody is, I don't give a fuck how many times the client calls. You're not getting the wig until it's done. Because the moment that one thing is wrong, you will tell the world that I did something wrong. Nope. But the problem is, your phone went on mute. But the problem is, you also have to be very overly communicative with your clients. Because if they don't know, then you telling them to hold on 3 more days is almost life and death to them. They don't understand the magnitude of what the work is that we're doing. So it's so many avenues to get you frustrated, but at the core of everything, you have to be passionate. You have to be passionate. Like, you have to look at this shit and say, oh my God, I'm building a fucking wig from scratch. And if you can't hype yourself up like that, then it's probably not the career for you.
That's real. Okay, when I say deep, I didn't know. I didn't know we were long lost. Long lost soulmates, to be honest with you. Like, I wish I knew you like a month ago. Because anyway. All right,
testify. Listen, because even if you don't you get on here shouting and screaming, and yo, people don't know what you're going through because at the end of the day, they ain't listening to hear what you got going on. Like, your testimony is real. Like, I know what it takes. Like, that's why I told you when I got on your live the other day, like, I don't see how you do it. Like, I'm going to give you a little, and I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, I do not have the energy to stay out here talking to y'all every day. That's just not who I am. Right. Like, I really, but when I show up, you're going to get this knowledge. Yeah. You're going to get this shit, and you're going to get it. But it's something about that person who is like you, who understands, like, the more that my face is out there, the more that, you know, things are going to keep working together. So.
Yes. No. Okay. Well, okay. So you just did a collab, right? With Sephora.
Ooh.
Tell me about it. How did that relationship start? How did you get your, I know it's all network. I know we know, but like, what was that like, that process? Cause that's a major.
That was a big deal. And this is for the content creator, right? Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself. Like, believe in yourself. And I just got chills saying that. Like, you have to dig into everything that you're doing and say, okay, this is how I talk. I talk to myself. Literally, you can watch any video that I've ever shot, and I usually shoot everything myself. And I'm like, all right, let's go, Darnell. Action. Stop, Darnell. You need to say that. I literally talk to myself. And, like, I remember talking to myself and saying, what is it that the world needs? Where is the void? Like, where do you need to fill this void? Like, what is it that people want to know? And I realized, like, I went on YouTube and I typed in ventilating. And I realized that the same ventilation videos are up there from when I started 13 years ago.
Hello.
Like, are we kidding? And everybody's on social media. But there are wig makers who are blowing up daily. There are celebrity stylists who are blowing up daily. So because of that intertwined, like, I was like, okay. Clearly, there are not people who are talking about how to do it. And there's an entire, like, I don't know if we know this, but if you've been to beauty school, my M'Lady book is in the other room. But if I had, I'd show it to you. One page of wigs. We have an entire career making billions and billions of dollars. Yet, you have one page of wigs. One. And I was like, well, so because of that, you have all of these different avenues of people who are, like, trying to blow up off of their content. And I was just like, wow, you're creating all of this shit and just like going crazy. Fast forward to Sephora. Sephora came because I seen that there was a void and I started to believe in myself. I was like, you know what? It's 2020. Okay, so fast forward. I had quit working with a really big client. Everybody knows this client. Mm-hmm. Quit working with this client and January comes. So this is 2019. January, 2019, December 26th is probably when I quit. The 30th comes, I go to church for worship service. I manifest that 2020 is the year to educate. Ooh. I go into 2020 on my knees, praying to God, believing. I took my last money that I had from this good client and I invested. I invested in myself because I was like, if I'm going to be broke, I'm going to be broke for me. So the last video that I posted, which is my tutorial with Miss Nikki Baby, how to apply a custom lace wig. That was actually it. That was over a year ago. And I invested my money into that because, like, I was really like, okay, I'm going to do this YouTube thing. And I shot that in January on the 17th. On the 19th, I was on my knees. No. On the 19th was a Monday. Might have been Monday or it might have been the 20th. Got on my knees to pray because I knew I was about to go into depression. I knew because I didn't have the job that I knew I had, the security that I was looking for, all of those things. I was just like, I know I'm going to go into depression. So what am I going to do? And I don't know, like, this might be way too much, but this is what we do. I was like, either I'm going to jerk off and sit in this bed, right? Or I'm going to get my ass up and do something that makes me feel uncomfortable. I laid out my yoga mat and I literally got on my knees. On my knees, I said, thank you, God, for another day. My phone rang. It was a phone call from Johnny Wright telling me to come down to downtown LA. Tamar Braxton needs you to do her hair for To Catch a Beautician. Literally, I manifested education thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna be on YouTube. Fast forward to, I got to work on an entire show on VH1 doing hair for an entire collection that I had never showed anybody. I got to just put all of my wigs on one client every episode. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. Fast forward to the last episode comes. They're like, we don't need, our last person came that was supposed to be here, dropped. And we don't have anybody for the last episode. I'm like, well, you've had a whole season and you haven't talked about wigs and every fucking body wears wigs. Oh, well, we need a guest. Darnell, you can be the guest. How do you go from sitting on your knees in prayer, quitting your job, to being on TV teaching people? Because you manifest it? So I manifested, I did, and it was good to me. People are paying attention to my content creators. Everything you post, everything you say, you never know who that person, who you don't even know, that's watching. She might be connected or he might be connected to somebody you knew 10 years ago. But just be willing.
Your mic's rubbing.
Oh, sorry. Just be willing to understand and know that what you say matters, and nobody's going to believe it if you don't.
So, I mean, you, I'm, whoo, you connected like 12 of my questions. I love, so before I get on with my guest guys, you know, we chat a little bit and all. He's like, you know, if we could, I mean, he is literally going down the list in order. Like, I don't even get to ask questions. Okay, I'm gonna curveball. Asian or German needle?
German all day.
Ooh.
It's a different knot. I don't care what nobody says. It has to be microscopically. I can't see it with my eyes or even my magnifying lens. But microscopically, it is a different knot. It's a different knot. Asian all day for fast shit, back of the head, stretch, all that shit, blah 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 blah. German needle, front, top. Anything.
What was the first wig you ever made?
I used to glue wigs down. Oh, okay. So I didn't get to tell this story. I started off and I was a hustler. That was what I was trying to tell you. I was a hustler. My first wig was, I used to make wigs for the beauty supplies. I would go to the beauty supply stores and they had the hair out on display. And I said, I can make these wigs look better and you will make so much more money. I did. And they did. Literally, I used to be at Ching Ching's, Lee's is what we call it in Detroit. I'm from Detroit, but Lee's, I used to be there every Saturday and every once a month on Sundays, passing out flyers, making their wigs, all that stuff. Oh, I was serious.
So, okay, we kind of touched upon this one, but I want... what is the most frustrating point you try to tell one of your mentees? There is so much passion coming off of this man. When I tell you, we may have to put it up as a video at some point, because the passion,
What is so do you want to know, like, something that people struggle with the most, or something that just really ticks me off?
Ooh, let's do tick off. Let's do both. Hit it.
I think most people struggle with, they think that they're supposed to get it right away. And then the other thing, the second part to that is they think they know it and they don't got no idea.
Ooh,
yeah, no. I'm going to tell you that looked trash, motherfucker. Like, no, we're not putting that out there. Because at the end of the day, you're going to tell somebody that you learned from me. If you learn from me, pause, period. We're going to make that better. So that's one thing. And then the thing that I get frustrated with is when people quit on them fucking selves. I don't like that. If you come to class, be willing to say, all right, I got you. Go cry when you leave my motherfucking class. All of that energy of doubting yourself and I can't, it literally starts to become an embedded cycle of you can't. And I don't like that.
Okay, I'm flipping it again. So we met at ISSC. I started this story. So we met, I was working with Manic Panic and I was on stage, you know, dip dying all the things. And I started ventilating. And this, when I, this was the connection that we had. I was going to do some ventilating on stage. Yeah. You know, like I normally do. Jumps up, takes the needle and just starts ventilating. And then I'm just talking about what he's
doing. It was so great.
It was freaking amazing.
It felt so good. I never felt so good coming home from a work day. You know, a lot of times you come home from work exhausted.
Oh.
I came home from work that day. I was like, that it was like a light bulb for me. Being on that stage supporting you was literally a light bulb for me. It was that. So that was that moment, and that was what you experienced. It was a light bulb for my entire career.
It was. And, you know, I know people didn't know. People don't know what we do to the scale that we do it. And I try to tell and explain. But, like, until people know, and that's, you know, I say it, M'Lady is doing us a disservice, is doing every hairstylist in who they're teaching. And I kind of see the other side because we can't really regulate hair because it comes from a living person. I get the whole thing. I get it.
But
still, the education needs to be there. And I know there's a lack, and we are filling the void slowly.
The void socially, but my goal, and I'll say this just because I really think it's important, and maybe somebody who listens to this can help me, or maybe you can help me, but I really strongly believe, I strongly believe that if we petition, that we can get together and force the cosmetology board to put more of this curriculum into that book, because it needs to be there, although it's not an appendage of the skin, and it's, you know, fashion and all of those things. I just believe that if you're going to go to school for hair, you should be educated a lot more about more than just the hair that comes out of the follicle of somebody's head.
Yes.
Like we like that's cute for, you know, the scientific part, but what about the fashion? Like y'all over there played in them schools. Like that was one of the things I hated
Finger
about
waves.
Beta. Like, are we stamped? Like, okay. You know what? I'm not opposed to the finger waves. You want to know why? Finger waves forces the student to understand that you can't get your way. Like, you need to understand that there is structure to things. I like finger waves. I'm not good at it. But when I taught it, there was a mental psyche that I taught versus the skill.
Yeah.
Because the mental psyche of I can do this is like way better than, oh yeah, I'm great at finger waves. Fuck that. No, if something is challenging, I can handle it is what the mindset I want my students to have. Yeah. And I think a lot of times in schools, like people get discouraged with that shit. And they're just like, fuck it. I don't want to do it. I got to do it for blah, 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 blah. And I just think that it's important to make sure that people understand and have like a different mindset in regards to things that they don't always love. Like finger waves gives you structure for sure. They teach you a lot about hair, how to manipulate. I hate finger waves. But I'm telling
you, roller sets. I hated roller sets, to be honest.
Hey, first of all, roller sets will change every fucking client that you deal with. Wigs, especially.
Oh.
Wigs, roller sets are like best friends. If you don't like a roller set, you don't want volume in your wig.
Well, I tell them. For me personally, I love to go to schools to spark that inspo. So I'm like, you know, I make a six-figure career on roller sets, right, everybody? Roller sets.
Period.
Or am I yet a roller set? Okay? Because that's how we do
like
it.
That.
And like, it blows their mind. I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, if we talk the TV film side, you know, continuity. No one knows continuity. No. Yeah. Ugh. And these one-hit wonders of beachy waves only last so long.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That is real. Like, TV and film hair is like, somebody needs to like really have a whole class for that, because even just like reading a mood board, like people don't even know how to translate sometimes. They're like, oh yeah, I need to do it exactly like that. No, sis, that was a reference for your fucking work. Sis, no, don't do that shit just like, no. But, you know, I just think that, you know, people are, you know, everything is different. Like, I don't know where I got the knowledge, but I knew I was so be a student to the craft. Like, I was a student in every room I walked in. Like, I really am and was. So,
What was, okay, maybe for you now, two. I want two moments. What was your two aha moments in your career?
Yeah. It's back to my social. it's so many, like, days. Like, not even kidding. Like, some days I wake up and I'm like, God, me? Like, really, God? Like, that's big. That's big. Dang, what could I share? Two big moments. I have to share high and a low, right? Because ain't nothing. What? Like, I ain't nobody out here talking about high. Everything high is not always that great. I was homeless. That was an aha moment for me because that moment really... I was on Venice Beach. I was on Instagram. People wouldn't have known this, but I was definitely on Instagram when I first started 2014, 2015, living out of my car on the beach, posting videos and pictures, going to the beach every morning or walking over, because I mean, I had no far to go, you know, from my car to the sand. And I literally used to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and go ventilate at the beach. And it was just a quiet time. And that aha moment for me was, I asked God, I said, I'm tired of being an adult. Like, I grew up so fast, had to take care of myself. My dad was killed when I was young, all these things. So I just wanted to feel like I didn't have any responsibility. It came at an extreme cost. I had no place to live, struggling for food, struggling, right? But in that struggle, like, I literally, like, was like, oh, you love this hair shit. You are castaway with this hair shit. It's you and hair on the beach. Like, you love this shit. And so that was my aha moment. And another moment was working with Beyonce. Like, bro, I went to that concert and seen my hair on Beyonce and was like crying down. Like, oh my God. Like, God, this is so big. Like, this is so big, God. Like, what did I do to deserve this? Like, it was beyond my... Like, we all love Beyonce for the wind blowing, right?
Hello.
And to know that it was my wig hair that I touched that was sitting on my flow, like, let's go. Let's go. That is bigger than you could ever imagine. So that was, like, two of the aha moments. Like, you can be low, but he will bring you high.
What? Oh, how do I segue from that? Shit. I don't think you really can. So we're just gonna okay, this one, I mean, I don't, who is your favorite client to work with?
Ooh.
Okay. That face. I wish you could see his face. This may turn into a YouTube at some point because his facial expressions for each question, he's like, what's coming?
I'm so glad I didn't ask you what the questions were. No, I have, you know what? The thing that I always tell people is if you're my client, you're my client because we collaborate. Like, that's one thing that I really appreciate is, like, I will not take a job if we're not collaborating. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Beyonce. I don't care if you're Halle Berry. I don't care. Like, I just think that it's important that if you are working with somebody, like, just because you're a superstar, bitch, I'm super in my star too. You hear me? Like, what I do, I wake up and I go ham for it too. So because of that, like, let's give each other some respect. You trust me creatively and I'm gonna trust you. I wanna make your vision come to life. So because of that, I just wanna, like, so, I've loved working with I really, really, really enjoy working with Nikki Baby. But I love working with Ryan Destiny too. Because what happens is they're two different fan bases, right? I like what their fan base, how they react to it, right? It's not so much the client, or it is the client, and it is what we get to create, but it's more of how their fan base reacts, right? So Ryan is a really young, like up and coming superstar. And her youthful fan base gives me so many ideas. Like they drop inspiration in my DMs. They give me ideas or, oh, I want to see this on Ryan. They take everything that we do and like make it a meme and make it. So that's always really fun just to see your work in that light. Nikki is one of those people who really doesn't, she loves her blondes, but she doesn't have like these restrictions like most clients do. Financially, she can pay for it. Like we ain't out here penny pinching, having to cut back on certain things, if I can be very vague and honest. That's a really, you know, sometimes with a client, that's important because sometimes you can't do the work that you really want to do because client can't afford that, or they just don't want to pay, or they don't see the necessity of that detail. Mm. Nikki is like, oh yeah, baby, give me the most realistic. And that's always a fun ass client. And it just, it also pushes you to see what you can do at the level when you think you've got it all mastered, how you can push and how you can go to the next level. So yeah, that those are my two favorites. Love them, like big deals to me.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. That's all I have to say is yes. Okay, what is the most important about the most important part about a wig? Like, what is the part that end all be all? Whatever, what you know, what's the part you care? And then I also want to flip it. What the part is like, whatever. You know what I mean. Like,
okay, yeah. So the part that I think is the most critical, most people overlook it, is foundation. I think foundation is even more important than, I don't want to say this, hairline. Only because if the client's not comfortable, then the client is not going to wear it right.
True.
Back up to the second thing that I feel is really key and most important is always the hairline, because that's what we're looking at right away.
Uh-huh.
But if the client's not comfortable, then she's not even wearing it right.
True.
So those are my two. The thing that's least important, see, I ain't got a least important. That's what my students don't like about me. Is I am. Oh, you gonna get this knowledge,
yeah,
and you gonna do it the right way, step by step by step. So, the only thing I can say, Skip, is the style. She can do it herself. Foundation, ventilation, bleaching knots, melting knots, all of that, it matters.
So when you ventilate, do you still bleach your knots?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. I took what the new people did and what the old people did, and I made my own thing. Yeah. Those little balls are visible. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care how faint the hair is unless you are using a specific type of hair. And I don't like to share what that hair is, but most wig makers know what that is.
Yeah.
But I really, you can't even make a whole wig with that. But no. The only hair that I strongly recommend that you use for hairlines is Indian hair. I do strongly recommend Indian hair because it is going to be the one that you can find the most. I would say, you know, European, but that's not always easy to find. I do recommend Indian hair for every ventilator. Every ventilator, it will lift to where you need it to be. It will work how you need it to work. And it will blend in most occasions, especially, you know, in areas of the front hairline. Just go through and pull the, you know, single strands. But yeah, I bleach knots. Not always, but I do. Most of the time I do. But I'm very, very, I got my own little way of doing it. I'm actually working on a bleaching tone, video for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you were a hustler building. Now you're the education part changed.
Yeah.
What was the switch? What made that switch happen?
Just like really the void. I did that research and was like, look at the industry as a whole, then zoom into what you're doing. Look at the industry as a whole, then zoom into what you're doing. How can you make what you're doing affect the industry as a whole? And that was like, I seen a void, and that's where I get to. I went to those YouTubes and like literally 13 years ago when I started, like you literally still got those same people that just, you know, made those videos. So that was my shift, like seeing the void and was like, oh, let me say this, because a lot of people won't move because they don't have a team.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Will Smith said this. You have to make what you do look so desirable that people want to be a part of your team.
Hey!
And so that video I was talking about earlier, the one that I shot with Miss Nikki Baby, How to Lay a Lace Wig, it literally came out maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Legit.
And it's still good content, like amazing. I spent money on that shit. Spent mad money. So y'all better go watch it, stream it right now. I'm at 8K views. I'm hype about it. I'm just, you know, good content. But I hired people, 4 people, to edit it. Nobody. I spent over $1,500 in editing. I'm not joking. Paying people.
Mm-hmm.
In December last year, I bought Final Cut.
Boop.
I taught myself how to edit every
Boop.
Motherfucking thing.
Boop.
Everything that you
Say
see
again.
On my YouTube is from 1 camera, 2 camera. I have 6 cameras.
Hello.
I am serious about Hello. It. Like, nobody's going to believe you or jump on board with you if you have ass in it. And so I really had to start believing in myself and stop waiting for people to like.
No one's coming.
Nobody.
I just want to tell people, nobody's coming.
Baby. And if they come, they come in with a handout.
Yeah.
They coming with a what's that thing? Took the doggy bag.
Okay, they them home.
The doggy bag. So it's so important to make what you do look so desirable that the people come, because you don't want people on your team that's just
it's been the hardest. The absolute hard in my end to find people on the same wavelength. I mean, even the same book. I don't know if people know what an encyclopedia is who's listened to this, but like they're on A, I'm on like Z. And hello?
Yeah.
Is this, you're telling me you make things, but you, okay.
But, okay, so here's the thing. I remember I had this one project. It was a really big project, one of my biggest projects. I had people coming from all across the country to my studio, right? And people said that they knew how to do stuff, sent me samples of stuff. Clearly, it must have been stuff from years ago or when they first was like hungry about it. But literally sitting in the studio, I had to relearn that everybody's not as passionate as I am. Mm-hmm. And that, I said it before, everybody's not as passionate as you are. But like in that space, I wish I could redo it, because I would give all of those people a lot more grace than I did. I thought because they said that they knew it, that they knew it, but I didn't realize I was operating on Z and they were still on A. I didn't realize that. And if I'd realized that, I could have, because there's so many people that I worked with that I could still probably be working with, but I was like, oh no, you ain't at the level right now. And I kind of cut it too fast, and I could have groomed them to work. I know me. I'm like, oh no, you ain't here. You got to go. I've been real short tempered. I have. And
no.
How are you doing? Yes. But I've definitely found that at times everything is working together the way it's supposed to. But had I had that opportunity again, I'd be more patient with people. I'd actually train them how I want things to be done versus expecting that they know it already, because that was where I got hurt. I thought that they knew what I knew, but they knew what they knew. And it was working for them.
Right,
but
right.
I didn't have the patience in that time to see like, ooh, let me slow down. I thought we were going to be able to do this faster than we are. We need to like kind of go to the drawing board a little bit. I didn't even know to even think that way then. Now I do.
How long does it take you to make a wig from like, but you like the full head. Like you love, like I've only lately have been doing full foundations because the fit. So like, and I get that now, like when you said like, ooh, foundation, I'm like, ooh, yeah, because the fit.
It's the and it's really how the client feels. Like you can probably not even tell some of the little tweaks and imperfection, but if the client doesn't feel like it's hugging like a glove, then she's like pulling and tweaking it, and she might rip that bitch. And I'm just like, oh no, let's make it fit right for before anything. Mm. Mostly I do.
You don't have to give away the secrets either.
No. I don't always. I love lately or last week, maybe 3 weeks ago, I did this new integrated piece where I took a frontal and customized it on a custom foundation and was like, oh, bitch. Oh, I'm literally in that space of how could I make this work and faster, but also like still make it look like I did it from start to finish. And it's just some things that just never change. Like the Asian knot will never look different. So I always have to end up ripping that area out. So I'm always kind of adjusting pre-made to look more natural. Love a full lace foundation. I hate to give people time because right now it's giving me anxiety. See, this is what we were talking about earlier. Like, because if I say it, then you're going to hold me to it. And then I got to like, I can't take no other jobs if something big come up. So I'm just like,
No. This is more.
Probably 5 to 8 weeks. It really depends on what you're working on. Yeah, girl, 5 to 8 weeks.
Girl, what you doing?
Yeah, full length. I don't work on one wig at a time, though. I'm ADD like a bitch. I have to do three projects at once. One project, I won't complete it. My ADD.
If someone came to you said, I need a wig in 48 hours.
Oh, she wouldn't get it. She's not going to call Darnell. She's not going to call Mr. Davis, baby. And if she do, I'm going to be like, oh, baby. You know what? There is this beautiful little place called His and Her down the block. Or you can go on Alibaba. Girl, they got you. But I ain't making it.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I remember going to a client's house. I'm going to tell you this story. And I maybe after this, I'll tell you who it was. I was at a client's house. This client was... I don't think she realized how much time it took to make a wig. And she wanted, like, right? So one day I go over and I said, I'm going to do some work in front of you just so you can see. And so she went to, I'm doing it. We're just there. And she was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to sleep. All right. Well, you go to sleep. She went to sleep. And I was like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. So I came back tomorrow. And she thought that I was supposed to be finished with the shit that she went to sleep on. Oh, you think that my body don't go to sleep too? I don't be understanding these people sometimes. So sometimes it's like, they be thinking that you're supposed to work like a machine. But I'm just like, listen, we're going to give you a realistic time frame. So the max you're going to get from me is 5 to 8 weeks. That is like an express order, 8 weeks.
Really?
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want one. I love seeing the inside. For me personally, I love an inside of a wig.
That's
the truth, you know, on these. And I love people. I love if you can make a Frankenwig, I call them, make the Frankenwigs work, I more power. I just want to see the inside so I know what I'm working with.
That's literally what I tell every student. I think the foundation, when you really want to get to know a wig, the hair is like
hair gonna move. Like
the third thing to look at. That foundation, especially for like TV and film shit, like that literally you just needed to look good for a shot. Like
I am there to watch it. I'm there to babysit it. So I have to tell people like they're paying me a salary to babysit that hair all day.
Yeah.
It's not going to move. Yeah, it could be pure. It could be everything left over on the floor and I will still gloss it, shine it, make it's not going to move on my watch, you know, where other people who are wearing it and are making them like for an everyday wear, you know, where they're in it and you have a client. Because remember, don't touch it. Not your lame boo.
Saying something on your live the other day about like when they leave, I used to have separation anxiety. Oh my God. My client be like, is the wig ready? I'll be MIA. Like, no, you want to take her from me? Oh, I work so hard. And one of the things that I know is that they never take care of it. And one of the things I hate is giving a motherfucker HD lace and she sends it back and it's bald. Like, oh, I can't. Like, it really just, it's really important, though. You were about to say, or you saying something, and it just triggered. You have to have your own lane. Like, even in the wig world, like, you just said one thing, and I'm talking about something completely different. Like, wigs, I do completely custom. I was like, I'm not doing ready-made shit. Like, and when you call me for ready-made,
no,
don't call me. Because when I can, when I do ready-made and custom,
I wish I got.
I can do
the wig. I wish.
I can do two ready-mades and be like, oh, I'm still doing this custom. Oh my god, it's gonna take me forever. So mentally, it wasn't satisfying. It was like almost making me lose my mind. So I was like, I don't want to do that shit no more. Like, and if I do it, it'll be for a photo shoot or blah 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 blah. But it won't be like for somebody who wants a wig like custom made. That's the only thing that I'm focused on is custom. So it's an avenue for everybody. It's people who just want repairs.
Hello?
It's people who just want, like, you're doing set work. It's people who just want you to make wigs for, you know, the headband wig. And I don't fuck with them. Y'all need to stop wearing them headband wigs. Like, I do not like that shit. It looks terrible. We see your laces. We see that headband. It don't look good. Stop putting all that got to be on your shit. It looks terrible. And get you some real lace that melts.
Mm-hmm.
Transparent is not transparent. We see that shit, sis. Okay.
Get out of my life.
That's one of the things that disgusts me the most is people who are confident and wearing trash. Like, I hate seeing these wigs. Like, I hate seeing these wigs. Like,
and now they have the cameras, the HD cameras for YouTube. And I'm like, girl, how are you talking about this?
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it. Everyone got to hustle. Everybody got a thing. You know, You pop it on and move. But then your editor better be fierce.
Fierce.
Like,
period. You look. Fierce. Better be photoshopped.
I mean,
because
if we're going to talk about that, like, there was a show that spent $1 million to blur a lace line.
Hold on, what show was that?
We can't.
I live for editing on lace, baby.
Honey, like,
did it look good though?
No. And then also, the person made it a pink wig when it was a blonde.
Okay, all right. So here's the thing about it. Let's just go. Let's talk really, really quick. TV. Ooh, if you're going into film and TV. One thing I strongly recommend is tell your client before we go out there, we have to record a video. That's going to help you to really be able to see kind of what you're going to be working with and what you're going to be fighting against. But TV wigs and real life wigs are two different things.
100.
You can't even add a real blur if the lace doesn't match. Almost already. It's not going to work. No matter how much TV they do, all they're going to do is make you look like
only
a
thing that is going to work is a swoop.
Is a swoop. That's it. That's
and
it.
Their hair coming out that front.
Yeah.
That's it.
You really have to, like, understand and know, like, okay, my melting game has to be good. My blending game has to be good. This foundation needs to match my client's color. The knots need to be very faint in the front. My part needs to look the most realistic. Those three things have to always be 1, 2, 3 before that camera even action is halfway called. So I like to, and my clients know I don't post these videos, but I always record a video of me applying so that I don't have to, like, say, hold, still, sit still real quick. Let me remember what we did. I already know, like, what our steps were. So every time I can just watch that video, if I forget something, to kind of go back and reference to what I did to make that lace particularly look good. So I kind of always make sure I have a little bit of backup for myself, because you would think
continuity
the same way. Yeah, continuity is very important.
Yeah.
But you also want to know what works good for that client, because maybe it won't work for a fairer skin client or a darker skin client or a client that has a different hairline or more baby hairs or less baby hairs. So you really just have to kind of
mentioned it. Do you like baby hairs?
I believe that baby hairs are my baby hairs. I live the baby hairs. I'm struggling with. I don't. I'm not opposed to them, because in real life, some people do have.
I don't mind. To me, it screams '80s.
It's
80s, 90s, you know, like, I'm like, okay, cool. But then I think we only kept it because that transparent, I'm using air quotes, everyone,
yes,
transparent lace came in.
Period.
And they had
and they needed to conceal it.
They needed,
exactly.
That's why the swoop came in.
Yeah.
Swoop,
yeah,
there it is. Move your eye back. You know?
I don't hate baby hers. I'm a part of the black community, so we do baby hair outside of the 80s. I got my little cousin got, you know, so here's the thing, just a little history. Baby hairs for us comes from, there is usually in front of a black girl, sometimes she's mixed, sometimes she's just black, but there's this really small amount of hair at the front hairline that's usually softer, doesn't grow long, but just baby-like.
Yeah.
And me and studying hairlines, I like found a way to master it and really find the right hair to do it with. But I also have seen like it look very 80s, you know, finger wavy.
Right. Yeah.
Editorial, not realistic. Like, so I see where most people would be turned off. I'm not opposed to it. I really work on it based off of a client to client. Would baby hair look realistic on you?
Right.
Your hair is very kinky. I'm sorry, sis, you wouldn't have baby hairs. It's just not realistic. So I have a little bit more of, we're only doing this if it's realistic to who you are and what your natural hair would normally do.
Right. No, I'm thinking like period hair. Like, once again, I always go TV, film, all that. Yeah. And I'm like,
it's a different.
In 1962, there is definitely no baby hairs.
No.
In wigs.
No. Very clean, pressed out. Literally, like. Yes, like, oh my God, she's snatched. It's literally a snatcherization.
What wig broke you?
Ooh, ugh. What project broke me?
Yeah.
it was this tour. I remember having a breakdown. Like, I remember I just was like, I don't want to do this shit no more. I was doing a tour for, you know,
whatever,
and it was the hiring people thing, though. It was the people. It wasn't the job. It was more of, I got paid a really large lump sum of money, and I did it all back. Like, okay, it broke me because I ended up $5,000 in the hole. Fixing everything that everybody had fucked up. It caused like a really big depression. Like I was like, oh my God, I got this really big job. Yo, we're about to do this. It's going to be amazing. And then fast forward 2 months into the project, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing everything over by myself. I had 13 people working for me. Now I got to do everything by myself over. Like they were making shit hella thin, see-through. I'm like, what? I need to fill this in, fill that in, do this, blah, 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 recolor this, recolor that. And it just made me like, I don't really like this like I thought I did. Like, that was like one of those moments where I really had to reevaluate what I was doing it for.
Oof.
Yeah.
Someone told me when they hired me that it is not about the skill set, it's about the personality. You know, like,
that's
working
why
there.
That's why when I said what I said, if I had those people over again, I would do it different. I thought that they needed to be as great as I did. And that was an issue.
That always rang true. Like, and to be honest, and I think we can do it all and we will do it all for our gigs. Like, our name is on the line. End of discussion.
Yeah,
I will be up and we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But A, I hired you to do a gig. Like, I'm paying you. Because if I was to ever screw up, I'd be fired.
I already know that I'd be fired. I don't have
already any, know.
Like, I already know it's clear as day that I'd be fired. So why am I running my business like a church? Back to that. Okay.
What is one thing you would have told your or you wish you learned earlier in your career?
Oh. It took me all of these years to get to where I am because I did not believe in myself. I didn't know, it had never been done before, right? Like, it wasn't a black guy out here talking about custom wigs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a young guy out here talking about wigs. It wasn't. No shade. All facts. Like, I had nothing. Like, I remember just watching the people on YouTube, and like, there was this lady, Lillian Simone. I don't know if we know her, black lady. She literally would do shit in her living room. It wasn't great, but it gave me concept. She was black. She had, and that you have to, and not to say white ain't right, white ain't, but black, when you are black and you are a minority, you need things that you can connect to bring you into the world of this or that or blah, 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 blah. And she brought me into this world. And I remember, like, when she, I could tell she was probably going through one of the phases that we go through as wig makers, just being discouraged by the client wanting the wig and all of that. And I just remember her, like, kind of ghosting the whole YouTube scene. And it was just like a void for me. And I really, yeah, I just, I seen that I didn't believe in myself. And I would definitely tell myself, like, you were camera shit. Because that was the other thing, is that YouTube, everybody's doing YouTube, but they got like these one shot, two shot cameras. If my student is in class, they're expecting to feel like they're in class. So like, I wanted to make sure, like, if I was gonna do it, like, it felt like you were in a classroom. So that's the reason why it's all the cameras, because I want you to really be able to see everything and really know, like, when you walk away, you're gonna be able to do it. So yeah, I just wish I would have told myself, believe in yourself. You got something really big that the world needs. I just wish I would have believed. I mean, but it took me to get to, you know, 25 to really start seeing who I was. But if I believed earlier, I probably would advance my career. But things working. Everything. What does Abraham Hicks say? She says, everything is working the way it's supposed to. So
100. What is your favorite wig making tool?
Light. Light. Period. Like, if you can't see what you're doing. Like, and I live for a nighttime ventilation. I used to do nighttime lives, but I don't do it anymore. Nighttime ventilation is the best, because I'm in my studio has like windows around it, so it's so much light coming in. When you can focus your light directly on the lace and control your light, you can move faster, you can see, you're not as sleepy, you don't get tired as much. So it's really a big deal. So I do a lot of night ventilating. Mm-hmm. I actually want to do like a night live or a night class. I think that would be dope.
Yeah.
Everybody just bring their own projects and we just talk through the night.
Yeah. What is the longest you sat down to ventilate?
ADD is bad. So it's probably toward the beginning of my career when I was hungry. I used to do like a real 8-hour sit down. Like, I used to really put myself on punishment and be like, you have to sit down for 8 hours. Everybody goes to work for 8 hours. I can't do that now. I will lose my mind. I give myself 2 hours increments, 2 hour increments. So
really?
2 hour timer break.
I wish.
Yeah. What's your schedule?
I wish. I have to sit down until it's done. That's what.
Oh my God. Oh no. See, look. I do.
Like that 48 hours, that 48 hours was not a joke. The actress cut her hair off over a weekend. They redid the whole schedule waiting for me to build the wig.
Wow. Yeah, I've had stuff like that happen. And I just be like, yeah, y'all might want to call. I can give you this person's number.
That's real. Like, that's the sit down.
It is. You know what? But when you do what you do, like, I don't know. I'm trying to get to a space where, and this is just me talking, I don't know if the people need this, but I'm trying to get to a space where, because in the wig world, you do have to like modify things to work for your business, right? You have to like say, okay, well, I'm going to be I can customize hairlines. I'm not going to do custom wigs. I'm just customizing. So I can do blah, 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 blah. For me, because I like everything to look a certain way, some things just can't fly by my radar. like Asian knots in a park just will never fly by my radar. Like I have to remove those knots in the party, do my own knots. So that takes a little bit of time. Whereas some people would say, oh, let's leave that and let's just blend the front out. I'm not that guy because I'm like, oh, but what if she decides to part right here? We need that scalp. That scalp is everything. And the hairline is good, but when you get into the line, I think that is even more important. So it's also about taking into consideration the style. But yeah, wigs are, what was your question? I know it was something about how long.
I don't even remember. I'm just listening. When I tell you, this is
first. I know something.
I'm just listening. What was your favorite tool?
Oh. Done. I done went into a whole spew. It went from light to everything in between. Light is important, y'all.
Light. Okay, light we got important. It. Okay, so I know we're coming out of COVID. What was your...
Or are we?
Girl, we're just... What... What is... What are your thoughts? Where do you think our industry is going? You know, hair is... Was good, good. Hair was already hard. And now, you know, with shutdowns and all the things, what are your thoughts? What do you see happening?
It is gonna be, okay, so this is for all of my raw hair people who like collect and work with raw hair. You're gonna find that your raw sources are a lot more limited. You're gonna find that they start mixing because of the shortages in the temples and places like India that had it like really bad. And what just happens is because the factories were shut down, they don't have all those people going in and organizing and sorting and getting all of. So it's months of like back order stuff, right? So then you have people like China who are so smart, who are gonna like find a way to make their money. So you're going to find that there are so many different types of hair that starts emerging on the market, and they're going to call themselves Indian hair, and they're going to be mixed with all these fibers, and all of this stuff is going to happen. So if you have a raw vendor, make good friends with them. That's going to be like one of the first things that I know right away is raw hair is going to, the supply is going to change. The resources are going to be limited. But when you get it, just know too, the price is expected to go up. About 30 to 40%, not even a 10% jump, 30 to 40% for real raw hair. And they were waiting for a moment to just, you know, the world happens like this. We make more and more money because we start charging more and more. So it was time for inflation to happen, but now give us a pandemic and now we're going to double the inflation. So that's pretty much where we are with that. I personally see wigs continuing to evolve. I love that wigs are an accessory. That's like the thing for me. I think wigs are the ultimate accessory. It is the way to change every look, every moment, walk in the room and be a different person right away. You don't even need to change your jewelry. The same jewelry in a different wig will literally change the world. So I don't think wigs are going anywhere. My prayer is that more people look at the knowledge that people like me and you are sharing and like take heed to it and really like say, okay, I was sleeping on myself. And even if I just know a little bit of ventilation, my hairline's going to be 10 times better.
Boop.
Like that's Boop. Really what I hope is that the people that are wig makers will take ventilation classes just to be able to get the real illusion right. Wigs are wigs because they create an illusion. And people just stop giving a fuck about the illusion.
To be honest, they all care about the inches.
Yeah, they want inches, but the illusion ain't there. We like, oh yes, she got a hat on that's 79 inches. Bitch, if you don't take that shit off your head and go blend that motherfucking front. But you know.
What about the 12 inch fronts with the 72 back?
Because my ventilator only, my factory only got 18 inch frontals, but I want 92 inches. Learn how to ventilate. Just a little tip to my suggestion is what y'all call it HD lace, which ain't HD, is regular Swiss. Yeah. Asian, it's actually Asian Swiss. because if you compare it to real Swiss, the shit would not be ripping the way that does. But I prefer what y'all call HD lace over transparent lace any day because of the melt quality. Again, it's not real Swiss lace, y'all. So stop thinking that it is.
Real Swiss lace. I mean, I can only talk from my end, but how did it get this bad with all these terms? Do you know what I mean? I know how.
I was probably a part of it, right? You were probably a part of it, right? And let me tell you how. When this industry started, like, the Asian people are so fucking advanced, right? And we started to get savvy and we were like, oh, okay, I gotta get a vendor. I have to reach out to my vendor online. I have to go to Alibaba and get me an vendor, right? And when we reached out to them, we started to talk our language, our real ventilation language. And we started saying, yeah, we want Swiss lace. And they were like, oh yeah, Swiss lace? Oh yeah, we don't have that. We only got this, right? And I don't know if you know this, but real Swiss lace used to only come from like really good ventilators or India. And their quality of ventilation was terrible, but their lace was genuine. Terrible, but lace was genuine. I don't know if you know about Zigzag Wefts, but those things were my baby. Anybody know about Zigzag Wefts? Hit me up on the DM and send me where I can find some more Zigzag. But they started to get hip to the knowledge from ventilators and hair connoisseurs reaching out to them and saying, this is what I want. So because they are smart, they are not stupid, the Asian factories, they said, oh, okay. Well, probably somebody was strategic enough to send them a sample. And they were like, oh, this is what you want? Oh, we can make that. And they started to make it and manufacture it. China is so fucking advanced. So they started to kind of create, and it's just my illusion, but I feel like it makes a lot of sense. They started to create Swiss lace, and then a lot of people started complaining. The regular people were complaining, oh, this is ripping. I can't handle this. This is ripping. So then they immediately switched to transparent lace. Transparent lace took over the market for maybe 5 years. And then people were like, I want my wig to look more natural. Like, why does Beyonce hair look so good? So then they started to, the vendors or the connoisseurs started to reach back out. I want Swiss lace. And they made the shift. Asia made the shift. And they started to put these names on it that they thought we wanted. And so that's my illusion on how it got that way. And I'd probably give you a couple hundred dollars to prove my theory wrong.
No, legit, I feel the lack of education here for the masses, and I say masses like for the retailer who, you know, now they have, you know,
they have their reach out to the vendor.
Yeah. So now we have people, you know, doing their thing, but they just don't know. Yeah. And it's like, once again, just like false facts, you know, what's real. At the end of the day, we're going to learn because it's going to either hold up and do what we want or it's not.
Yeah, or it's not. Mm-hmm. Or it's not. Or
and it's then not. We're going to be redoing it again.
It's Yeah. No, but I strongly recommend everybody to really, like, there is a difference in lace. Like, especially if even the way that the Asians ventilate their lace. This is too much information. But even the way that the Asians ventilate their lace in the freeway pattern. I don't know if you guys know this, but the lace is prone to fraying way faster than it would ever fray if it was on the proper axle and ventilated the right way.
So do you want to know my theory? So this goes like from my manufacturers, like really like cutty, but then vanished and ghosted me with 10 grand of my money. Anyway, we're story for, I feel there's a machine.
So I have literally been thinking that it has to be because of the consistency.
I'm consistent.
I'm a visual.
We are so consistent.
I am a visual understander, and I understand that no matter how much you do something consistently, it's not going to look the same as the next.
Not going to be that.
Every single knot looks the exact same. One of the reasons why I do, but here's the thing. I challenge myself because I'm like also a
people will send me hair from time to time. Test this hair out, test this wig, test this clothes, test this, and get my feedback. And I am a true tester. So I have tested the Asian needle and the German needle. And the Asian needle gives you that ugly knot that they get. So it could be hand work. No. It's something.
You would still pull. You would still pull somewhere. I know I'm damn good. Yeah. But there is a day, a wrong, a ha-ha, a ho-ho, a hum-hum. There's going to be a tick. And they are so consistent.
But are you talking about on their HD or on their transparent?
Who cares?
No, that transparent shit's so motherfucking durable. You could pull on that all day and nobody would ever
That's
know
why I'm saying it has to go through a machine.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now because, you're saying because of the structure.
Because
they're
of
like,
that.
Yes.
You That's know why what? Now that we and, screwed it up.
And because of the grain, I would say that it's easier for a machine to go through that grain.
Boop.
Okay.
That's why I think us coming in with that new lathe. They can't put it through their machine.
I feel like, and I've also seen this. I've seen, I didn't realize that they literally just do like a sheet. Like their lace isn't even contoured to the head. They do a sheet.
It's a ball.
And then so it has to be a machine because if you're doing sheets, literally, they are known for anything that's flat is going to go through some sort of machine.
It's a
they
tunnel.
Can roll their hair with it's a big a ass.
It's a just like the texture. Oh, give me 3 days. So they're wrapping it. They're wrapping it because it's straight.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the things that I actually live for. I live for customizing textures. One of the things that people know me for. I'll buy a straight wig any day. Oh, give me a straight wig. Oh, I will give you the texture for life. I love a permed wig. Live for perming a wig.
Well, I'm touching on it with education. I'm not going deep like that, though. They're going to get the basic. They're going to get a dowel. Yeah. They're going to get a dowel set and a bobby pin set.
Okay? Oh, listen. That right there, I believe, like that right there. I wouldn't put that on the internet only because I think that.
No, they're going to.
Some things you just don't let people exploit. And I know that's one of those things that people would exploit in the wrong way. And then we'd have a whole nother epidemic of terrible hair. Like some things you just have to know, like, just not worth it, honey. Just keep doing it great and teach your classes, darling. Don't you put that on the internet.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, where can people find you? We could keep going for hours.
Yeah. Well, like, of course, get on my social, wigsbydavis.com. Check me out on YouTube at wigsbydavis. My social on Instagram is wigsbydavis. I also am on Facebook, wigsbydavis, and Darnell Davis. So, just check me out on there. I'm literally always trying to stay as active as possible, and I'm trying to educate the world. Headband. Ooh. Wigs needs to be banned. Let's ban the headband wig. No, we don't like that. But I'm really proud of you. I just have to say that I'm so proud of you. Like, I thank you so much for your light, your joy, and just having this platform to share with other people and lifting and encouraging people. Like, you are really doing your damn thing.
Thank you so much. I have goosebumps. Thank you. But thank you for being on the Wig Hackers podcast. So guys, make sure you go check him out. Re-listen to this as you're ventilating because you should be doing this an hour a day.
Period.
You are just at least. This one only does 2 hours at a time. I'm about to smack him.
Period. First of all, I take my 30-minute weed breaks, okay? Yeah. Let me smoke my weed and I'll come back to this, okay? Look. Everybody need that thing. Don't you hold me down. I'm working at least 15 hours a day. I just got to smoke my weed in between, okay?
Oh, my God. I love you. You're going to come back on after you put out all of this because it's going to be a whole new you.
Yeah.
It's already a whole new you from when I first got introduced to you. So it's only going to get bigger. And I'm sure we're going to do some amazing things together. We should do a collab.
We have to do some things like bigger than just conversating. Like, they need to see our creativity.
Oh,
like,
together. Like, it's going to be epic.
Because it's the same product, but different technique to get there.
It is. You know? It is. And I think that that's one of the things. So many different people in between what I do and what you do that don't even know that there's a lane for them. So,
right.
Yeah, that's going to work out. Oh, I'm excited. I love you.
Oh, my gosh, guys. So thank you so much for listening. And make sure you tune in for the next episode of the Wick Hackers Podcast. Till next time.
Bye, guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.